الحمد لله الحمد لله وحده والصلاة والسلام على من لا نبي بعده على من لا نبي بعده ولا أمة بعد أمته ولا شريعة بعد شريعته ولا كتاب بعد كتابه صلى الله تبارك وتعالى عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه وبارك وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا أما بعد أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم ولما ورد ماء مدين وجد عليه أمة من الناس يسقون ووجد من دونهم امرأتين تذودان قال ما خطبكما قالتا لا نسقي حتى يصدر الرعاء وأبونا شيخ كبير صدق الله العظيم وقال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم الدين النصيحة قلنا لمن قال لله ولرسوله ولكتابه ولأئمة المسلمين وعامتهم أو كما قال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم Respected ulama, elders, beloved brothers in Islam, amongst the multitudes of virtues and fadail that Allah had favored and endowed Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam with, one of those many favors was that Allah had favored him and endowed him with concise speech. The riwayat appears in Bukhari and in Muslim, where Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam himself mentions that utitu jawami al kalim, that the words of Nabi alayhi salam were very concise, yet very comprehensive and very voluminous in its meaning. The words were concise, yet very comprehensive and very voluminous in its meaning. And the hadith that I had quoted in the beginning is a manifestation of the statement of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Many a time we are asked by non-Muslims or those that are not acquainted with Islam, that tell me something about your religion, tell me something about Islam. You meet somebody on the street, he says, introduce Islam to me in a few words. We don't know where to start, where to end, what to say. We start mumbling, we start fumbling. In two words, in a nutshell, the Nabi of Allah defines Islam. Where Sahaba Ikram asked Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that, O Nabi of Allah, what is Islam? To make it and to condense it, he said that ad-deen wa an-nasiha. That deen, Islam, in essence means to desire good. This is the simplified definition of Islam, to desire good. Sahaba then asked that, O Nabi of Allah, could you perhaps elucidate, elaborate, desiring good for who? Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, lillahi wa li rasulihi wa li kitabihi wa li aimmatil muslimina wa ammatihim. That to desire good for Allah, to desire good for the apostles of Allah, to desire good for the leaders of the Muslim ummah, to desire good for the divine scriptures, and to desire good for the general masses. This in essence summarizes deen. Time is limited. I would just like to speak on the last point, and that is desiring good for the general masses. We find that this is also a fundamental ingredient of our iman. This is also an important component of our faith, that you and I become the benefactors of society. Jarir ibn Abdullah al-Bajali radiallahu ta'ala anhu, Imam al-Nawawi, a very prolific and a great author of the 6th century, has made mention of this incident in a commentary of Muslim Sharif, the first volume. Jarir ibn Abdullah al-Bajali, one day he comes to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. If we study the riwayat, we would find that Sahaba ikram, they used to come to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and they used to pledge their allegiance. One was the general pledge that Sahaba used to take. Ya ayyuha an-nabi idha ja'aka al-mu'minat yubay'anaka 'ala an la yushrikna billahi shay'an wa la yasriqna wa la yaznina wa la yaqtulna awladahun. That, O Nabi of Allah, when the believing women come to you, they pledge allegiance that they will not steal, they will not commit zina, they will not commit adultery, they will not ascribe partners unto Allah, accept their allegiance and seek forgiveness on behalf of them. One was a general pledge that Sahaba used to take. But study the riwayat, there were certain isolated, independent situations where certain sahaba had come and on an independent note they had taken certain noble pledges at the hands of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Jarir ibn Abdullah comes to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and after a lengthy discussion, he says, Ya Rasulullah, I make you my witness that lifelong I would desire good for each and every person. If it is within my ability, within my capability to assist another man, I would assist him. The incident I was making mention of, one day Jarir ibn Abdullah, he sends his slave to purchase a horse. The slave goes, meets with the owner, they negotiate the price, They settle on 300 dirhams. He gives him the money, he takes the horse and he comes home. Jarir ibn Abdullah asks the slave that, how much did you pay for the horse? He says 300 dirhams. Jarir ibn Abdullah says, I think there's something wrong. The owner of the horse has undercharged, he has underpriced. Let us go back to him. Jarir ibn Abdullah goes back to the owner. He introduces himself, I am Jarir, this is my slave. He had purchased the horse from you. You had charged him 300 dirhams. I feel that you have undercharged, you have underpriced. What do you say if I give you another 100? Let us make it 400. In all human likelihood, who would decline? But then he thinks to himself, such a beautiful horse. He says, I think this horse is worth 800 dirhams. He gives him 500 dirhams extra. He takes the horse as he returns home. People congratulate him on his new conveyance. Jarir, how much did you pay? He says, 800 dirhams. They tell him, you're a fool. You could get that very horse for 300. He says, yes, I could also get it for 300. But I pledged allegiance at the hands of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that lifelong I would desire good for each and every person. At this juncture, desiring good for this individual was for me to give him a better price than what he had asked for. Wallah, when that honesty will enter into this ummah, this may be something very difficult for you and I to swallow. But wallah, when that honesty will enter into this ummah, where sahaba ikram asked Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that O Nabi of Allah, which is the noblest of actions? Which is that action that constitutes the maximum benefit and earns the greatest reward in the eyes of Allah? Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, that sururun tudkhiluhu ala muslim. That joy that you bring to the heart of a Muslim, there is nothing greater that you could do to any person than to bring joy to the heart of a Muslim. And then Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam explains, number one, that takshifu anhu kurbatan. Either you remove a difficulty from the path of any individual. Number two, aw taqzi anhu daynan. Or either you settle a debt on behalf of any person. Brothers, many of us, Allah has given us a lot of wealth. For us to settle the debt of one man will not infringe on our basic necessities. The most it would mean, we would have to adjust one or two vacations of ours. One man can enjoy a roof over his head. Another man can drive a car of his own. Another man can have a plate of food in front of each night. Wallah, brothers, the dua that will come out from that person's heart, your jannat would be guaranteed. So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, number one, remove a calamity from the path of any individual. Number two, settle a debt on behalf of any person. Or number three, remove hunger or poverty from the path of any individual. And then Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned that I would prefer walking with a person to satisfy his need than to sit for 1 month in Masjid al-Nabawi for i'tikaf. I would prefer walking with a person to satisfy his need than to sit for 1 month in Masjid al-Nabawi for i'tikaf. But Allah forgive, today we see a person smiling. What do we say? What has happened to you? Why you are smiling today? What does Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam taught us? أَذْحَكَ اللَّهُ سِنَّكَ. May Allah perpetually keep you happy. But Allah forgive, such hypocrisy has crept into this ummah. You and I who were sent as the benefactors of society, leave alone desiring good. Allah forgive, we cannot even see the good of the next man. This is how low we have stooped today. I think we can go one step further to say that when somebody speaks good of someone else, we do not even have the ability to listen of the good of the next man. This is how low we have stooped today. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, through Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, has given us that avenue of enjoying the good of the entire Muslim ummah. The riwayat appears in Muslim, the first volume. Abdullah bin Ja'far radiallahu ta'ala anhu, the element of desiring good. Before the battle of Jamal, he comes to his son. He says, oh my son, I'm going out in jihad. By the looks of things, these are my last moments. But I have one concern and one worry, that is my debts. When I die, I want you to settle my debts. I make you the executor of my estate. Lengthy narration coming to the point of focus. He goes out in the path of Allah, he becomes shaheed. Burial takes place. The son says, I began the calculations. فَوَجَدْتُهُ أَلْفَيْ أَلْفٍ وَمِئَتَيْ أَلْفٍ. The words of Muslim. I found that my father was owing 2,200,000 dirhams. Exorbitant amount. This is a colossal task. My father has entrusted me with this. And then he goes on to explain as to why his father was indebted in this way. I quote the words of Muslim, the second volume. وَإِنَّمَا كَانَ دَيْنُهُ الَّذِي كَانَ عَلَيْهِ أَنَّ الرَّجُلْ كَانَ يَأْتِيهِ بِالْمَالِ فَيَسْتَوْذِعُهُ إِيَّا فَيَقُولُ لَا وَلَكِنْ هُوَ السَّلَفِ إِنَّمَا أَخْشَى عَلَيْهِ الضَّيَعُ أو كما قال. That the reason why my father was indebted in this way, my father was a very trustworthy person. People had trusted my father a lot. People had kept a lot of trust and reliance in my father. A person would come with large sums of money and he would say, oh Abdullah, keep this money by you as a trust and a amanat. My father would decline. He would tell this person, no, wallah, I don't think you would find one person like this alive today. My father would tell this person, no, you are giving me your money to keep as a trust and a amanat. While your money is in my possession, any unforeseen circumstances could prevail. Your money could get lost, it could get stolen. That is the end of your money. That is the masala. Somebody gives you a trust to keep. While the trust is in your possession, without any negligence on your part, if the trust has to get lost, if it has to get stolen, you are absolved of your obligation. So my father would tell this person that you are giving me your money to keep. Any unforeseen circumstances could prevail. Your money could get lost, it could get stolen. So why don't I secure your money for you? Why don't I secure your money for you? That money you are giving me to keep as a trust and a amanat, I will regard that trust to be a debt. That money you are giving to me to keep, I will regard that trust to be a debt. So in the interest of that man, my father would take that trust and he would regard it to be a debt. And he would tell that man that come what may, the money can get lost, it can get stolen. I am responsible to give you that money back. Once upon a time, that was the quality of a believer. Sayyidina Yusuf alayhi salam, whose brothers had such amount of animosity, hatred for him. They planned, they plotted his assassination. Quran makes mention of this incident. فَلَمَّا ذَهَبُوا بِهِ وَأَجْمَعُوا أَن يَجْعَلُوهُ فِي غَيَابَةِ الْجُبْ. That they separate Yusuf alayhi salam from the father. And they beguile the father that we are taking Yusuf for some entertainment. يَرْتَعْ, he would eat. وَيَلْعَبْ, he would play. وَإِنَّا لَهُ لَحَافِظُونَ. And we would take care of Yusuf alayhi salam. Yaqub alayhi salam had a lot of love for this young boy because he knew that one day he would grow up and he would become a Nabi of Allah. Mufassirin explained. They say when they separate Yusuf alayhi salam from his father, the brothers, they drop Yusuf alayhi salam on the ground and they began to argue with one another. Should we kill him? Should we abandon him? Eventually they agree that let us abandon him in a deserted well. Own blood brothers, they come to the well. وَأَجْمَعُوا أَن يَجْعَلُوهُ فِي غَيَابَةِ الْجُبِّ. Yusuf alayhi salam, in the tender age, he pleads with his brothers that, oh my brothers, what are you doing to me? Is this brotherhood? Is this what you display? Quran says unanimously, they agreed, they throw him into the deserted well infested with insects. وَأَوْحَيْنَا إِلَيْهِ لَتُنَبِّئَنَّهُمْ بِأَمْرِهِمْ هَذَا وَهُمْ لَا يَشْعُرُونَ. Allah inspires Yusuf alayhi salam that, oh Yusuf, bear patiently. Very soon Allah will give you such honor that you will narrate these very happenings to those very same brothers of yours in more detail than what they can tell it to you. And you will be able to recognize each and every one of them, yet they will fail to recognize you. What was the akhlaq of Yusuf alayhi salam? Nonetheless, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had saved him. And slowly but surely the future of Yusuf alayhi salam started unfolding and gradually started taking shape. From there he comes out, he goes into the house of the minister, and in due course he becomes the king of Egypt. In the interim, the king of Egypt had seen a vision and a dream. I don't want to go into the different interpretations. The king had seen a vision and a dream that seven fat cows are being devoured by seven thin cows. This denoted 7 years of prosperity and then 7 years of famine and drought. After years and years and decades, what Allah had inspired Yusuf alayhi salam in the tender age has today become a reality, and he is now sitting on the throne of Egypt with full power and authority. Yusuf alayhi salam is sitting on the throne. The brothers of Yusuf alayhi salam, one by one, they walk into the court. He makes them out that these are those very brothers of mine who had thrown me in the well and have perhaps forgotten about me. They thought, I am history, the chapter is closed, I am dead. They come like everyone else to purchase grain and corn. He has a brief discussion with them, but he does not divulge the secret that I am your brother. Before departing, he orders that each one of them be given a camel load of grain and corn. And before dispatching, he calls one of his servants. وَقَالَ لِفِتْيَانِهِ جَعَلَوْا بِضَاعَتَهُمْ فِي رِحَالِهِمْ He says, Oh my servant, you see those men. Those men are my brothers. And with them they have brought money. But I feel shy to take money from my own blood. No matter what they have done to me. But I feel shy to take money from my own blood. Can I exploit the desperation of my brothers to make money? Can I exploit the desperation of my brothers to make money? Which brothers? Those brothers who had separated him from his beloved father. Those brothers who had abandoned him. Those brothers who had threw him in a deserted well. But what was the akhlaq of Yusuf alayhi salam? Brothers, many of us that are sitting here, Allah has given us a lot of wealth. We are either bosses or employers. And while we entertain that noble endeavor of expanding in our businesses by moving from a basic car to a luxurious car, and moving from a simple home to a palatial home, and moving from national vacations to international vacations, I sometimes wonder, do we entertain the same frame of mind for our servants when we decide a salary? Or does Islam, na'uzu billah, advocate a very selfish attitude? That person that is working for me, I will exploit him. Is he not building a future? Does he not have a family to see to? Brothers, let us take this to heart. Those under our employment, they are human beings like you and I. They have equal ambitions like you and I. They have equal aspirations like you and I. Yusuf alayhi salam says, no matter what they have done, end of the day, they are my brothers. I cannot exploit the desperation of my brothers to make money. Take the incident of Musa alayhi salam. There is a warrant of arrest for Musa alayhi salam. One person comes and tells him that, oh Musa, Fir'aun and his cronies are after you. Why don't you leave Egypt and go? With divine inspiration, he decides to leave. Musa alayhi salam starts walking for days and days and days. No man's land. He doesn't know what the future holds for him. No food, no provision. In this condition of utter desolation or utter desperation, he walks for days and days and days till eventually he comes to Madian. When he comes to Madian, ulama write, they say he was hungry, he was thirsty, no sense of direction, no man's land. The future is looking very, very bleak. Ask that person who travels far distances, when he comes home, jet lag, this and that, though he traveled in the most luxurious of conveyances, at that time a person, leave alone assisting another person, cannot even fend for himself. In this condition of utter desolation, of utter desperation, Musa alayhi salam looks in every other direction, absolutely no one around him. He takes shelter under a tree. وَلَمَّا وَرَدَ مَاءَ مَدْيَنْ وَجَدَ عَلَيْهِ أُمَّةً مِّنَ النَّاسِ يَسْقُونَ Musa alayhi salam, sitting under the tree, totally perplexed, waiting for the future to unfold. Quran makes mention of this incident. In the distance he sees a well, and the shepherds were coming with their respective flocks to give it water to drink. And in the distance, Musa alayhi salam sees two young girls standing with total modesty waiting for their turn. He is tired, he is exhausted, but expressing sentiments of brotherhood, he decides to approach these girls. Ma khatbukuma. If it was the youngsters of today, they would exploit the situation. Musa alayhi salam, looking at the desperation of these young girls. Wallah brothers, while the world is moving in one direction, and that is the crave of materialism, the crave of amassing, the crave of usurping and snatching from the next man, I sometimes wonder, cannot we stand up and revive those individuals who will stand up and portray to the world and make the world understand that what is the true perspective of this life, that you can even earn to support the next man. Each man wants to better his own life. Cannot we become those who will better the life of others? Cannot we become those يُؤْثِرُونَ عَلَىٰ أَنفُسِهِمْ وَلَوْ كَانَ بِهِمْ خَصَاصًا The Sahaba of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, though they may be in need, though they may be hungry, but they would still give preference to the rights of their fellow men over themselves. Nonetheless, Musa alayhi salam, looking at the desperation of these young girls, expressing sentiments of brotherhood, he decides to approach them. مَا خَطْبُكُمَا Oh my sisters, why are you waiting here? With great modesty, they say, قَالَ تَعْلَى نَسْقِي حَتَّى يُسْدِرَ الرِّعَى. That in the crowd, there are strange men. If you are going to go into the crowd, we will be rubbing shoulders with strange men, which is forbidden in Islam. So this is our practice, that we come, we wait for the men to go. Once the men are gone, we take our sheep, give it water to drink, and then we go back home. And perhaps you are wondering, they tell Musa alayhi salam, why there are no men folk with us? They say, our father is old, he is aged, hence there are no men to represent us. So this is our practice, that we come, we wait for the men to go. Once they are gone, we take our flock of sheep, we give it water, and then we go home. Wallah, in that moment of desperation, that was enough for Musa alayhi salam. Looking at the desperation of these young girls, he says, no, give me the flock of sheep. He goes into the crowd, gives the flock of sheep water, brings the flock of sheep back, tells the girls that go back home. What was the barakah of this? The girls return home early that day. Look at how Allah opens up the future of Musa alayhi salam. The girls return home early that day. The father says, what has happened? Why have you come home early today? They say, we have met a strange man. We don't know him, but he had sympathized on our condition. So the father says, that is not what I taught you. That is not conduct. That is not akhlaq. Go and call the man. I want to see who he is. فَجَاءَتْ إِحْدَاهُمَا تَمْشِي عَلَى اسْتِحْيَا. One of the girls comes with total modesty. And she says that my father is calling you to reward you, to reimburse you on the noble hospitality you had displayed. A message for the youngsters and the women of this ummah. Musa alayhi salam tells this young girl that you walk behind me so that perhaps my gaze does not fall on your body. You walk behind me so that perhaps my gaze does not fall on your body. Lengthy incident. They come. Musa alayhi salam narrates this to the father. This very quality of desiring good triggers into a proposal, and this young girl becomes the wife of Musa alayhi salam, and that elderly man becomes the father-in-law who was the Nabi of Allah, Shu'aib alayhi salam. So as I had mentioned, the definition of iman, to desire good for the general masses. Brothers, if we cannot desire good, the least we can do is let us at least say good. One person comes to Abdullah bin Mubarak rahmatullahi alayhi, listen to this. And he tells him that kharajat fi rukbati, I am suffering with a ulcer on my knee, and it is bleeding profusely. وَقَدْ عَالَجْتُ بِأَنْوَاءِ الْعِلَاجِ. I have been to doctors, I have been to physicians. There seem to be no symptoms of recovery. Could you perhaps prescribe some action that I may do that Allah may assist me in this predicament of mine? Abdullah bin Mubarak tells this person, it is simple. All you have to do is make service available to humanity. Make service available to humanity, and ideally go to such a place where people are living in abject poverty, where people do not even have the basic necessities like water to drink. Go to such a place and fahfir hunaka bi'ra, dig a well and make water available to those who do not have water. Allah's qasam, before any person can take one sip from that well, Allah will cure you immediately and permanently. This person says, that is what I had done. I had located a certain place where people were living in abject poverty. I had made water available to those who do not have water. Before any person could take one sip from that well, Allah cured me immediately and permanently. That is why Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam says that person, that man whom Allah has blessed him with fame, authority and wealth, he should understand that after Allah has blessed him with these bounties, Allah will direct certain creations of his to have the needs fulfilled at the hands of that man. If you understand that this is the due of what my Allah has favored me, and if you respond in the name of that wealth, in the name of that authority that Allah has given you, Allah will increase what he has given you. But if you decline, Allah will snatch. Such deep words. That person whom Allah has favored, coupled with those favors, will come the needs of man. perhaps your brother, perhaps your sister, perhaps your neighbor, perhaps someone from your locality, perhaps someone from your city, at some time or the other, someone will build hope in you. At that time, if you capitalize on the situation, you assist the next man, Allah will multiply what He has given you. If you abuse the situation, Allah will snatch. Brothers, what has happened to the akhlaq of this ummah? Let me leave you with one incident. The riwayat appears in Muslim. Abu Mas'ud Badri radiallahu ta'ala anhu says that my slave upsetted me. So I picked up my hand to slap him. As I picked up my hand to slap my slave, someone caught my hand from the back. Ya Aba Mas'ud. Ya Aba Mas'ud. Oh Abu Mas'ud, Allah has more authority over you than what you have over the slave of yours. What did Sayyidina Luqman alayhi salam advise his son? Oh my son, when your authority incites you or provokes you to oppress the next man, at that time think of the qudrat of Allah upon you. If you think that you can retrench, wait when Allah starts retrenching. He says, I picked up my hand to slap my slave. As I picked up my hand, someone caught my hand from the back. Oh Abu Mas'ud, Allah has more authority over you than what you have over the slave of yours. He says, I turned around. It was Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Not knowing what to say, left dumbfounded, totally perplexed. He says, Ya Rasulullah, the only thing I can say is huwa hurrun li wajhi Allah, is that I free him for the pleasure of Allah. What does Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam tell him? Ya Aba Mas'ud, Ya Aba Mas'ud, Ama law lam taf'al. O Abu Mas'ud, just as well you have freed the slave of yours, just as well, otherwise the fire of Jahannam would have been waiting for you. So as I had mentioned, brothers, the definition of Iman, to desire good for the general masses. If we cannot desire good, the least we can do is let us say good. Like one person said it so beautifully, and I leave you with this. He said that life is so short, life is so short, there isn't enough time to love. I don't know where people find time to fill this life with hatred. Life is so short, there isn't enough time to love. I don't know where people find time to fill this life with hatred. May Allah inspire us with the wisdom of the statement, and may Allah instill and infuse within us this beautiful quality of desiring good. Brothers, there's so much I wanted to say. May Allah make us from those الَّذِينَ يَسْتَمِعُونَ الْقَوْلِ, those who are after listening, whatever was mentioned, they bring it physically into practice. أُولَٰئِكَ الَّذِينَ هَدَاهُمُ اللَّهِ, these are the ones whom Allah has guided. وَأُولَٰئِكَ هُمْ أُولُو الْأَلْبَابِ, and these are the intelligent ones. May Allah inspire us all.
Syntech CD Productions, bringing the sounds of Islam to you.